Now we got it. Okay, but anyway, I'm glad that you're here. And like I said, when that teacher was asking the kids some questions, and she brought up some good points because, you know, when you're teaching young kids, kindergartens and co-ram, he can relate to this, you know, when teaching kids, sometimes you got to go down to their level to help them understand. She brought up a lot of questions to those kids, and that's what got me thinking about this message tonight. So, if I would have asked you this question, are you living for Christ today? What will your answer be? Anybody care to answer that? Well, I guess everybody's afraid then. Okay, all right. Well, generally, many will respond with a yes. And really, that is a good answer. But mostly, it's a generic answer. Now, that's a good one. I like right there how you said that one. That's a good one, R.W. But generally, when you ask someone, hey, are you living for Christ today? And many would generally respond to you, yes. Now, let me ask you this. If you are saying yes, would I see Jesus Christ in you by your actions? By the way you live? By the way you talk? Or would you tell me more than a standard yes and tell me why, yes, I am living for Christ today? Would you generally tell me, yes, I am living for Christ today with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and all of my mind? Now, sometimes when people ask us that question, are you living for Christ? We don't think about that. We just usually say, yeah, I am. No problem. But again, I'm trying to get us to think, are we living for Christ with all of our hearts, all of our souls, and all of our minds? And the reason why I'm asking this question like that teacher did those kids, you know, the reason why I'm asking this question is mostly due to much of what I see in others when I encounter them. And if the conversation comes around to Jesus, when they talk about Jesus or mention Jesus or whatever, I usually watch and I listen to the things that you say or do to see if you are really living for Jesus Christ today. Now, sadly, my friends, many will say yes. But to be honest here, many of those who says yes, their actions are not truly showing it. And I say this because many I encounter that says, yes, I'm living for Jesus Christ. The words in their conversation, the things that they say, a real Christian would not use. Many talk of things a follower of Christ would not say. Or worse, watch things with no conviction of the Holy Spirit, like it's not even bothering them. You see, when you and I encounter each other, when you say, I'm living for Jesus, I'm going to watch you. And I'm pretty sure you're probably going to watch me. But I'm going to look for these characteristics in you to see if you are truly living for Jesus Christ. Because, my friends, if we are living what I call a surrendered life, those type of words should not be so. Those type of actions should not be so. The type of secular things that we get involved in should not be so. If we are truly living a surrendered life to the Holy Spirit, my friends, we will be cleansed, we will be changed, we will be transformed. And those things that we used to do, if we did it, they would bother us and we would not do it again. But sadly, many who say, yes, I'm living for Jesus Christ, are still acting like things of the world. Or saying things of the world. Or watching things of the world. And when I see that, I start to wonder, are you really living for Jesus Christ? You see, when I see this, and when they tell me they are living for Jesus Christ, I wonder, in my mind, which Christ are they living for? Is it the real Jesus, or the Jesus they have in their minds and that they are okay with? And me and Coran, we talk a lot and we kind of say this a lot. You know, it depends on which version Jesus you're living for. A real born-again believer will live for the real Jesus, but most of the people who say yes to Jesus are living for the Jesus they created in their minds. They live Jesus the way they want to, not the way we know according to the Bible. And I see that, and that hurts me and makes me wonder, well, how can you claim to be living for Jesus if you're still acting this way, if you never truly change? But yet many are so comfortable with that, I really wonder, which Jesus are they living for? So tonight I would love to speak to you how we as born-again believers should live for Christ today. And I hope if you are truly born again, I or others will see that you are living for the real Jesus as we know of in the Bible. So if you got your Bibles with you tonight, my buddy's taking a break. He said he probably had kids or not, so that's why I didn't send him the text for the reading tonight. But our reading tonight is going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 17. Starting with verse 14. And it says this, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regarded him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, we ask of you to submit, or really to surrender our hearts to you and our minds to you. And Father, we ask of you, if there's anything within us that we may have inadvertently allowed in us today, or thoughts that we may have thought of today, or things that we said or done, or whatever that shouldn't have done according to your will and the way that we're supposed to be, please forgive us where we have fallen short of your precious glory. Dear Father, I ask of you right now just to try to help me, you know, focus more on you and focus on your son Jesus, and really surrender myself a little further into your will according to your ways. So Father, I ask of you right now, those who are here tonight, they took time to be here. They could have been elsewhere. They could have went down their own little thing, but they chose to be here tonight. And I ask of you to bless them for that and be with them and help them know that you're there, you know, regardless of what we may be facing. So I ask of you to surround the house with, you know, holy angels. And Father, those who have sicknesses or pains or issues or whatever they're dealing with, please help them out. Because I'm laying this petition at your feet, because according to your words, you will answer the prayer one way or the other. So Father, I thank you again for loving us and being with us here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grab me another sip of water. Now, y'all seen the message. And that's why I try to put the message to get you to think. Live for Christ today. Now, as I said, I want us to think about how we should be living for Christ. Many of us really don't need to be told how we should live for him, but I like to encourage us to think this. And today we're going to look at five ways that we should be living for Christ today, and what we should be doing for others to see. Now, the first thing we need to be doing today is, the first point is, look to Christ today. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And when I look at this, my friends, many Christians, you know what I see, and this is what they do. They look to doctors, lawyers, ministers, friends, more than they look to Christ. And sadly, all they find is nothing more than disappointment. Now, don't get me wrong, while help from others should be appreciated, real and lasting help in anything that you are facing could only come from the Lord Himself. Micah 7:7 says, "Therefore, I will look to the Lord." My friends, in everything that you are dealing with, look to the Lord and not to man. Because Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, which says, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." So folks, no matter what you are facing right now in this life, look to Jesus, who can help you. I told that to some people that were here today in the chat room when they was talking about they was trying this and trying that and doing this and doing that and doing that. And it seems like every time they try something different, it failed. And when I asked them, "Are you looking to Jesus for help?" "Well, you know, kind of." Then I kind of sat there and thought to myself, and I typed in the room, not trying to be rude. I said, "My friends, if you want real help, surrender it to Jesus." I know that's a hard thing at times for us to understand. Sometimes it's a trust issue. Sometimes it's an issue of faith. You know, sometimes I just don't know what it really is. But you know, look, we all face difficulties in our lives. We all face struggles. Each one of us has physical pains. Our loved ones have physical pain. And sometimes we think in our minds, when is the help going to come? Folks, all you and I got to do is look to Christ today. Which brings us to our second point for tonight. When people are looking at us, the first thing they need to see in us, do we demonstrate Jesus? And that's why I say, you know, if we're not looking to Christ today, we're not fully demonstrating Jesus as it is. So the second point that we need to do, we need to learn from Christ today. See, Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." I love that, folks, because that's what we need to learn from Jesus. Instead of being down all the time, being so busted and broken up, instead of so in our pity parties, instead of worry warts and all of the other things that's going on in our life, folks, we shouldn't be like this. We need to learn from Jesus. He gives us the answer. And the reason why so many are having difficulties in their walk with the Lord, and I'm not being rude here, but this is what I see and feel. This is me. The reason why I see a lot of them are having such difficulties in living in their pity-patty parties, or they're down or depressed or whatever it may be, they try to blame things on the world. But folks, really, what's happening with them, many of them are neglecting the word of Christ. Do you understand me? They are neglecting the word of Christ. Basically, the word of God. God's word is sufficient. God's word is all we need. The sooner we start to burn that into our hearts, the sooner we start to understand by faith we are going to accept the word of God for what the word of God says, many of our issues will go away. But what's happening to the others that's having such difficulties, and there's a few of them that's not even in the room tonight, and I've been dealing with a lot of them for a long time, practically some for over 7 years, and I saw no change, and it drifted off. We hardly see them here anymore, because I think, personally, they are not taking the word of God seriously. what's happening to them, they are too involved in their own personal pursuits. Friends, if we are to live for Christ today, you and I, we must read and meditate on His words daily, which teaches us how to live victoriously over sin, over self, and over Satan. Our buddy here tonight, he has himself a little website, and I've been reading up on it and meditating on God's words, and that's what we should be doing, my friends. If you're having such a difficult life, if you're having a hard time, we need to meditate on His words. We need to dwell within those words. We need to let those words sink into our hearts and our minds. I know it's difficult at times, and at times sometimes we want to quit, but if we do that, we can be victorious over sin, we can be victorious over self, and actually we can be victorious over Satan, because already the Bible says we win. Why do I say this? Why am I saying this, my friends? Well, according to God's words, not Jimmy, Romans 15:4 says this: "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope." Wow, see it? See it? You want to learn about God and how to live the life of Christ? Read and study the Word of God. This is very important in your Christian walk with the Lord. My friends, let the Holy Spirit teach you how to learn to live for Christ. The third point today that people need to see in us, and what we need to understand, we need to lean on Christ today. How many of you, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be giving out my age, but yeah, I used to listen to secular music, but how many of you used to listen to that song, "Lean On Me"? And you know who it was recorded by? The Beatles, I believe. I think it was. I'm not sure. But that was the song, "Lean On Me When You're Not Strong, and I'll Be Your Friend." Well, folks, how about if we are dealing with things that we lean on Christ? Jesus Himself says to cast all of our burdens to Him and take up His yoke, because His is easy to carry. But I found this passage right here, and I loved it, you know, because I forgot about this one. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." The reason I'm saying this, that Christians fail when they lean on their own power, their own position, or possessions. We, my friends, must trust in Christ today. He is the only one that enables us to accomplish our task and to bear our responsibility. How do we know this is true? Good question. The Word of God, my friends, is true. And He also says in Psalms chapter 37, verse 40, which says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act." Let me repeat this. Come on, hear this, my friends. I got to say an amen from this one. He says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act." Now, some misuse that passage, though. Oh, I'm going to commit everything to Him. Yep, you're going to act and you're going to take care of it. My friends, that's not a guarantee He will take care of everything. What He is telling us, trust in Him. And whatever the outcome may be, then let it be. Trust Him. The fourth point for tonight, and now this might sound a little strange to you. Lift, L-I-F-T, live with Christ today. And you're probably kind of sitting there looking at me like, huh? Live with Christ today? Like, all right, well, what is that? And you might be thinking, what does that have to do with living for Christ today? Again, another good question, but the answer is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, which says, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. The reason why I'm saying this, my friends, is due to what I see happens a lot with other followers of Christ. And you may see this also. When it comes to doing God's work, many Christians falter because a lack of cooperation from other brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me repeat this. The reason why a lot of us falters because it's a lack of cooperation from other brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I was talking to someone the other, I believe it was yesterday. Why is it we, brothers and sisters in Christ, tear each other up? Why is it we gossip all the time? Why is it we bicker all the time? Why is it we're not willing to help each other all the time? Why is it we're not willing to love each other all the time? Why is it we're not able to exalt one another all the time? Why is it we're not able to encourage one another all the time? Do you see where I'm going with this? Do you? Something is wrong here. Like R.C. Sproul says, what's wrong with you people? If we are truly living for Jesus Christ, my friends, we will not be doing any of these things, but yet the majority of churchgoers treat each other like dogs. Where's the love? Where's the family? Where's the unity? What's wrong with you people? Sometimes I hate to see this when I see other brothers and sisters eating each other up. It's sickening. I'm tired of it. Most of the times it makes me want to say, you know what? I don't want to be part of that group no more, because you know what? I get treated better from secular people in the world. My goodness. Don't get me wrong, please. I'm not saying this in a bad way. I'm not. But folks, we're supposed to help each other. Lift each other up. Exhort each other in a walk with the Lord. You know why I'm saying this? Proverbs 27 chapter, verse 27 chapter, Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17. I'm getting tongue-tied. But folks, that passage right there tells us that iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Do you see why I am saying this? We are supposed to be helping each other out. We are supposed to be helping each other grow. We are supposed to help each other be joined in unity, to come together, to fellowship, to worship, and be in Christ. But yet instead, the majority of church people or the majority of Christians out there are constantly out there tearing each other apart. And you know why? Because I think they're allowing Satan to do that to them. I hate to say this, but I'm sick sometimes of going to local churches now, because the majority of these churches I see, it's nothing but a power position or a struggle or a clique group. And you go in there and you want to be part of the family, but yet you get treated like you're an outsider, like you got leprosy or something. Are we truly living for Christ today if we're acting this way? What's wrong, folks? What's wrong? So why not today that we start to live with Christ today in a real Christian way? Friends, you and I are not alone in this. No, we're not. Christ is with us, beside us, within us. He will enable us to assist the less fortunate, comfort the sick and the lonely, and witness to the unsaved. Yes, even at times when we as Christians need help, we can lift each other up in love the same way Jesus did. And doing this shows we are living for Christ in the eyes of others. But if we are acting what I just said earlier and someone's looking at us, is that truly demonstrating Jesus Christ? And you wonder why so many turn away from the Word or turn away from God, said, nah, if that's how they're going to be, I want no part of it. You see, Gandhi once said, I like your Jesus, I just don't like your Christians. That's a hard statement to swallow, folks. Are you living for Jesus today? Which brings us to our fifth point tonight on how we should be living for Jesus. And that is to love as Christ did back then. Or in other words, I'm going to say what we should be doing. We should love as Christ today. He loved everybody back then, so what's changed? Most important of all in this message, I hope that you get out of this that we are to love as Jesus Christ himself loved others. How do I know this? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says this. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So we see that if we love God the most, we will love others better. I find this, my friends, to be a convicting and uncomfortable truth within me at times. How we love others, particularly other Christians, reveals how much you and I love God. Now, Coran just got through teaching Little John, that's what I call it, you know, but that's what I call the little book of John instead of Big John. Same John. But the Apostle John puts it bluntly in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Pay attention to this. In a way, I say he's shooting some people between the eyes. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says this. He who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not. Wow. That's putting it bluntly, ain't it? He who does not love his brother whom he sees, and I've got paraphrasing it, cannot love God who he does not see? Wow. If we're not loving our brothers and sisters as Jesus loved us, basically right there, my friends, we don't love God. Folks, our love for each other is an indicator of the place God is holding in our hearts. Love each other as Christ loved us. Love each other as God so loved the world by giving up his only Son. And in closing, I'm going to leave you with this tonight. And I was thinking about this a little bit earlier. God is very good at designing things his way. Our faith is revealed by our works. Our creeds are revealed by our deeds. And our love for him is revealed by our love for others, makes it very hard for us to fake it. Do you get that? If you are real, you will be doing these things. But if you ain't, if you're trying to fake it, it won't be real. The evidence will be seen very easily. And folks, this is a great kindness we can show others we encounter in our daily lives. My dear friends, look, Christ loved us so much. He loved us so much by taking our place. We must love God and others also. And look what Jesus said before going to the cross in John chapter 10, verse 14 through 18, which he says this: I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own knows me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I and other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down for my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Wow. Friends, Jesus set the best example on how to live for the Father in love. And this should be the example of us. To love one another is to love fellow believers as Christ loved us. Those who love like Christ in the Holy Spirit's power will give the evidence that they are living for Christ today. And I'll leave you with this. Five things again. For us to live for Christ, we should, one, look to him, two, learn from him, three, lean on him, four, live with him, and fifth, love as he loved others. This is how, my friends, you and I should be living for Christ today. Then, my friends, we may find that this is the most loving thing we would do for everyone else today. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh Lord Jesus, thank you again for allowing me to stand here before these kind folks here and bring this message. These folks are dedicated and they want to hear your word, and they're here to understand whatever that needs to be said. And Father, these messages are given to me for a reason, which sometimes I don't understand why, what's the purpose, but a lot of times it speaks to me in areas that I'm a little bit weak in and I need to improve on. Again, I ask of you just to be with these kind of folks here tonight, because their dedication to come hear the word and the message, and it's really encouragement to me to see them here, you know, on Fridays to listen to the word. And I thank you for allowing them to have this opportunity and this technology to sit together to listen to this. So, Father, I ask of you to anoint them and to bless them and be with them and encourage them to be more like Jesus today. That whenever someone asks us, are we living for Christ today, let our answers not just be a straightforward answer. Let our answers say, yes, I'm living for Jesus with all of my heart and all of my mind and all of my soul. Let me explain to you why. And Father, I thank you for allowing us to be here today to gather together to hear this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.